Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Big Sean, you know what today is?
We're dropping it in the bag, Matt. Come on,
right.
Mailbag.
It is mailbag day. Yeah, bro. More of your questions from our listeners. So we enjoy these shows. We get to hear what's on your mind, hear your questions, and answer them for you. So let's jump right in the bag. First up, we have Jordan, and she says, "Hi, my name is Jordan. I just finished high school, and I learned so much listening to this show." Well, that's awesome. She says, "Because of coronavirus, I'm thinking about holding off on my freshman year in college. Would a gap year have any negative impact on my financial future?" Interesting question. Well, Jordan, and I'm sure a lot of freshmen are and college students are concerned about this upcoming year, and students across the board. But for a college student, I would answer it this way. I think there's two ways to look at this question. Technically, Jordan, yes, in terms of maximizing your potential future earnings. According to research done in NerdWallet, it says that high school seniors who plan on taking a gap year this year due to the pandemic could be paying for it for the rest of their lives to the tune of an average of $90,000 in lifetime earnings. So
yeah, I agree
yes,
with that. I was never, even prior to this whole pandemic thing, Matt, I was never a fan of taking time. I've never seen the advantage of doing that, the return on your investment of taking time off and quote unquote savings. I'm saying like, go through it, do it. I mean, there's a lot of other options. Instead of going into classroom, like we know, you can do things online. And I used to always tell people, even if it was just one course, two courses a semester, just keep plugging away.
I mean, I think that's valid. And, you know, time is of the essence, but I do think that there could be if someone had reasons that made sense for them. A gap year is not going to be the end of your future. You can, you know, like if there is a valid reason to do it, if you're going to do some other things in your life, just basically to be productive would be our suggestion. If you did choose to take that gap year, make it worth your while, because you are losing potential earning power from, you know, the time you're going to take doing it. So it's not all about the money. There could be, like I said, valuable reasons to do it, but just consider those reasons. And right now, COVID could be a reason to do it. I mean, if your school's not offering online courses, which I think most schools are, but look into it and make a informed decision and, you know, trust your gut.
So, and, but I would just say stay in the system. If it's taking one course while you're, you know, taking time off, then do that one course to keep your mind sharp and keep moving forward. And like, it's true, maximize that time. If you decide to take that plunge, it's a return. Your number one investment is yourself. And if you can look in the mirror and say you're going to get a great return off taking this year off by investing in yourself, then who am I to judge? But make sure that investment is wise and you are getting that return that will push you forward. You know, I always say your 20s is about educating yourself and getting that solid education, get a solid foundation, so you can excel forward into your 30s where you begin your career and you can start investing. But you need to set up that foundation. I've seen so many people during this COVID time that are skilled, where they have a skill, like lawyers, doctors, where like I say it all the time, your education allows you flexibility and comfort, right? And that's what it does. It doesn't make you, if you're a lawyer and you get laid off, you have the skill set that you can leverage those skill set to do something else or practice at another firm. If you're just trained to make widgets and you're no longer able to make widgets anymore and the skill set is not needed out there, that's when you're in trouble. But when you've educated yourself and you have something that's viable, you'll always be okay.
All right. Well, let's jump back in the bag. Next, we have a question from Linda from Washington, D.C. And Linda says, my question is about the impending eviction crisis our country is facing. You're right, Linda, that is a huge issue. She says, is the fiscal cost of keeping cash-strapped Americans in their homes and unburdened by back rent, is that cost lower than that of allowing them to be thrown into the streets by the tens of millions? The human cost of the latter, meanwhile, are higher than any decent society could afford. That's a serious question.
Well, wow, you're kind of deep question. With that question. I would say this, Linda, like, you know, I try not to worry about things that I have no control over. And that's being said, I'm not telling you not to think that your landlord can and will not evict you. That is a possibility if you have not paid your rent. But I would say,
well, we're assuming she may not even be a renter. She's asking about the crisis.
Yeah.
She's,
okay. Well, on both ends. So yeah, I would assume this. It's not in the best interest of the government to have masses of people homeless, okay? So I don't think they're going that on a macro level is going to occur, but there could be pockets of it happening. And, you know, even for myself as being a landlord, that's something I wonder and I debate and I hope that doesn't occur. But you try to make contingencies up as a landlord, meaning that, you know, if I have to, how can I work with tenants? How can I make it that, you know, this vacancy doesn't happen? But you have to continue moving forward and understanding that in any economy, in any environment, there are downsides, but there are also opportunities. And sometimes I think we put so much energy on worrying about the downside, we miss out the opportunities.
I would also just chime in that our federal government, it's on them to take this crisis very seriously. We spend money around the world for defense and military wars, and our military budget is huge. I think this type of crisis deserves whatever resources we can throw at it, because I agree, the human cost, we can't throw millions and millions of Americans into the streets. So we need to figure something out. So thank you for your question, Linda. This is a very serious issue that, you know, there's no easy answers to. So let's jump back into the bag. Next question is from James from Denver. James says, I've been repairing my credit and I don't have a lot of credit cards. I rent my apartment. Is there a way to get the fact that I pay my rent listed on my credit report to build my score. Well, James, actually there is. You can't report it yourself. You can't report rental payments to credit bureaus, but all of the major credit bureaus will accept your rental payment data through a third-party service. So, for example, wow. Experian, they receive rent payment data through Experian Rent Bureau, and it updates database every 24 hours from property management companies and electronic rent payment services across the country. So that is an interesting and little known fact, James. Interesting question. And, you know, you'd have to talk to your landlord.
Let your landlord know, hey, I want to start reporting my rent. And I would say sometimes the situation, because I myself, the landlord, didn't even know that, Matt. So thank you for informing me. I think it's, once again, it's a relationship. If you have a great relationship with your landlord and you tell him what you're trying to do and you tell him the ways in which he can report your rental income, then work with him to get it done. And maybe then tell your other co-tenants in the building that, hey, I'm doing this. And it's something that even your landlord may like, because you can advertise to potential new tenants that I report this and it helps your credit score. Are there fees with this, bro?
There are fees. Some it costs as low as $6.95 a month. Others can charge annual fees up to $95 plus.
That's why I love America, man. We can make a business out of anything in this country, man. There is a business for a business for a business in America. God bless America.
Well, James, I encourage you to, you know, Google and go online and do some more research. There's some other rent payment platforms called, one's called Rental Karma, one's called Rent Reporters, one's E-Rent Payment. So, you know, rent bureau services are out there. So great question. And do a little more research and talk to your landlord and see if you can work something out. But we appreciate the question. Let's jump back.
And I just think, just close it one more time, Ben. And I think this is good for if you have good credit or bad credit. Like, you can use this to upgrade your credit. But if you're not paying your landlord on time and not paying his rent to him on time, I don't know if it's something you want to approach your landlord about. But
That could be dangerous.
I don't go emailing two black guys good credit. I thought of what you said, and I got evicted from my apartment. Know your boundaries, bro. If you know you aren't good with your landlord, maybe you want to hold off on this approach.
Very well said. Well said. So let's jump back in the bag. Next, we have a question from David from Philly. A short question to the point. He says, what's up with Bitcoin? Sean, what are your thoughts on Bitcoin right now?
Yeah, Bitcoin is actually on a surge, and no one knows why. You know, it was flat for a while, and now it's surging. The digital currency is up over 17% since July 20th, 2020, the same period in which the Dow Jones actually dropped nearly 2%. And reported cases of COVID have topped 4.3 million in the United States. Maybe it's that people are using it for its original purpose, using it as currency, or maybe, you know.
Well, I would add, Sean, that the spike has come on the heels of the Office of the Controller of Currency last week has allowed banks to hold cryptocurrencies. So up to now, banks and funds had avoided Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies due to regulatory concerns. But that has opened things up. So the rally
just
could be related.
The question. Yeah, the rally, because now that it's more legitimate. I'm not use the word legitimate, but now it's being accepted and it's being part of like the banking. So people are like, whoa, there's going to be a surge in demand for these coins. Let me bank up on these coins. And that's what's driven up the price of Bitcoin. There you go.
All right, well, let's move on. Next up, back in the bag, we have Sharon from the Bronx, the Boogie Down the BX.
Bronx. You got me on that.
Well, Sharon beat me too. This is directed to me. Sharon says, Matt, I've heard you say you are a freelance business owner and you own your own content production company. How are you marketing your business during these COVID times to help you find new clients?
Well, let me just say that before you start, Matt. Let me give you the history of my man, Matt Smith. You know, Matt Smith, yes, he's a freelancer, a gig guy. He worked at BT for a number of years. And when the time came for him to exit, he took this gig thing by the head. And I can tell you, by watching him and seeing him try to navigate through this thing, you know, I commend him for how well he's done and being able to survive. So I think whoever's from Boogie Down Bronx, you are asking the right person about how this whole freelance and gig thing works. So with that being said, Mr. Smith, hit him with it.
Appreciate that, Mr. Linda. So I would just say, Sharon, it's been difficult for in every industry across the board, but and specifically for my industry, working in production and creating content for television and online and digital platforms, a lot of things got slowed down and frozen to a halt. So it was a little difficult, but I've been working the phones, the emails, and all communication devices to stay in contact with my closest contacts that I've gotten a lot of work from, my clients that have been my best clients over the years. So I've been in contact with them, and I've just been staying creative. Some of the jobs that I've been doing over the COVID break has been developing shows for a couple of networks where I have some clients that are executives over there. So those were jobs that didn't require me to be out in the field shooting. So it's just about being creative and trying to find ways to do work even while the main production jobs have been halted. So I've been working the phones, basically, is all I can tell you, sharing, working my contacts and trying to remain creative and flexible, and also creating new opportunities on my own, like doing this our podcast, Two Black Guys, doing some other online projects and ventures, and, you know, just
Let me answer this, Matt. Let me dig a little deep. Let me interview you. Like, how have you had to pivot because of COVID? Like, you know, how has your world changed, and how have you been able to recreate yourself to really try to make it through these times?
I'm still learning that. I'm in the process of my pivot. But basically, prior to COVID, I had things already confirmed for the year. Like, throughout this year, there were projects that had already earmarked. My clients had already, you know, had meetings with me telling me we want to do this in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. I was supposed to be doing a conference, kind of like Comic-Con. Like, we were going to be doing a huge conference in D.C. That would have required a lot of budget, a lot of moving parts, and I was going to be leading that project. So that would have been a nice big budget, a nice big paycheck, and, you know, things happen. So once that went away because of COVID, because it looks like that's not going to happen now, basically what I've had to do, as I said, is just keep my eyes and ears open to opportunities, create opportunities. I've been reaching out to people. And also, it's about just being creative and being active. Like, I've been developing projects on my own that I think I can do through Skype. Like, Zoom interviews, and doing content that doesn't require major production or travel. So I've been doing, like, I've done some things for different corporate clients. I've shot some Zoom interviews on some topics that were related to COVID. I've done two COVID corporate videos about some hate that was going on towards the Asian American community. I did one about just how corporate America is dealing with COVID. So, like, basically, I've just been trying to pivot and be flexible and be ready, and also creating opportunities. So I think I've gone on long enough.
Last question, Matt. Last question. I think it's all great information. What has your mindset had to be, though, for this COVID? Like, how have you had to, like, condition your mind? Because people don't understand, when you're working for yourself, it is mental. It's not like every day you're getting up, going to your job, doing your work. You have to kind of encourage yourself, self-motivate yourself. Like, it's so mental being an entrepreneur, and it's a roller coaster in your head, I find.
You know what? I actually, as you say that, it reminded me of one of my biggest pivots was, and my mentality shift is, I've had to do more. Like, I've had to, like, normally pre-COVID, I was spoiled, not really, but in terms of, like, I had editors at my disposal who can come in, and that's their job to sit in the edit room. And that sometimes that's a long process to take a bunch of footage that's been shot and then chop it down into whatever the deliverable is. But because of COVID and social distancing, I'm not trying to be in a little tight edit room with an editor. So I've been editing on my own computer from home a lot of the content that I've been creating. So it's helped sharpen my edit sword. I've had to learn how to do some tricks, and some of my edit friends have been helping me over the phone, have been good resources. But basically, I've had to do a get in where you fit in, do whatever is, you know, by any means necessary type of mentality. Absolutely. To get things done.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Even with my logistics business, I've had people call in, not comfortable coming into work because of COVID. I've had to you know, do pickups myself and tell people we can't come. Like, it's just changing. And if you're not ready to, you know, humble yourself and do things that you may not have otherwise have done to recreate and adapt to this environment, then you're going to be left behind. And I want to just reiterate, people have to understand there is a new norm. Like, I never try to relive the past. Like, I'm never trying to get back to where I used to be, because I think that's the wrong mindset. You have to get forward, and you can use things that you've done in the past, but trying to be on this, I'm just trying to get back to where I used to be. I'm just waiting for things to go back to how they used to be, is a wrong mentality, because there's going to be a new norm. Like, I think, like, for example, face masks are here to stay. Even if there's no more cases of COVID in the United States, we're still going to be wearing face masks. The entertainment world is going to look different for a very, very long time.
People need to embrace change.
History will show, like, we'll be talking 20 years from now. Oh, was that pre-COVID or was that post-COVID? That'll be the conversation. Oh, that used to be before, you know, when COVID was here. So, you know, you have to embrace it, and you have to do, as Matt says, like, be creative. And I think that's what I got out of what you were saying. Oh, we've got along for this question, Matt. Let's bring me to the next one, bro.
Let's jump back to the bag. Thank you. Thanks, Sharon, from the Bronx. But now back to the bag. We got Calvin from Portland.
He's Calvin Klein, no friend of mine, don't want nobody's name or my behind. You don't know about what you know about that.
You're so much older than I am. I vaguely remember that song. So we got Calvin from Portland, and he's asking, Sean, ETFs or picking stocks? Well, not you, little Sean. This is for Big Sean. Mm-hmm. ETFs or picking stocks? What are your thoughts? I got 10 grand. Getting no interest in my bank account. What should I do with this money?
You just answered my question. For minimal investments like 10 grand, I'm thinking ETFs, mutual funds. And we did a show on this before we brought in our Canadian friend, where we talked about ETFs. And I think it's just where you're letting the experts do their job. You're letting them pick the funds and pick the stocks and bonds and stuff for you. Then you're just investing in the total return on a multiple set of stocks or bonds. Right. So you can spread your money thin, and you're not doing or dying from one stock. As much as you read about people that said, oh, I bought Amazon when it was $1. I bought Google when it was $5. Those are hoop dreams and pipe dreams. And I would say with your 10,000, as long as you're beating the rate of inflation, you're good. Like, the misconception that your 10,000 is going to wake up one day, and if you do it right, people have called me, like, I have 10 grand, like, I can make them $1 million from that 10 grand. It's just not something that's not realistic. So if you have 10 grand, and if that 10 grand brings you to 10,500 over a year, you make $500, you've had an excellent year on that 10 grand, just investing in the market. That's why I'm always a fan of investing in yourself, but using the market as a way to grow steady growth, but ideally building a business around you and investing in you.
So what do you think is better, though? You're saying ETFs for
absolutely, 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 absolutely. And that's what the smart people are doing. They're more doing the funds, ETF. You know, and they're not trying to cherry pick stocks.
Yeah, Calvin, I agree with Sean. I just wanted to chime in that you still want to have a strategy with how to pick your ETFs. There are specific ETFs. There's your S&P 500 ETFs. So you probably want to find you'll probably find picking ETFs simpler than figuring out how to pick stocks. It's just a matter of how much time you want to spend researching investments. So,
and you're looking at past performance, and past performance doesn't mean current performance, but it gives you an idea of how well it's performed in the past. But although we're going through difficult times of the pandemic, things may not be as relatable, but this is where you want to get a professional in, go to your local bank or an investment company and work with a professional. And fees are very minimal right now. So people don't charge a lot of fees for giving that advice. And you can then have somebody help guide you. I myself, who is a financial guru, I have a guy, a broker that works with me and helps me work through my investment portfolio.
Okay, brother, did you just call yourself a guru?
Yeah, I know you think I'm sitting at home on my computer just looking for opportunities. You think I'm that guy? I'm not. I learned in life, and just like on the court, Matt, it's a team game, and you got to get the right players on your team to win. You know, man, that's why when we play half court ball, I never pick you up, bro. I'm always like, you know, man, go on the other side. You got to have the right team. You can't do it yourself.
I'm going to let that go right now. I'm going to move on. I'm going to jump back in the bag. and I'm going to go to Lara from Detroit, Michigan. So Lara, she says, I am a recent college grad. I was fortunate enough to land a job before the pandemic hit. That's a blessing. Congrats to you, Lara. I just have completed my 3 months probation and was given the opportunity to sign up for the company's 401k plan. I really don't know what I'm doing. What now? What questions should I be asking? How often should I check in on my investment and with whom? Sean, what do you think? What are some things she should know about her 401k?
Well, just don't be overwhelmed, first of all. Do it, second of all, and try to max it out, third of all. And to me, you can be a 401k, if you look at it like an umbrella, right? And under that umbrella, you have many different investments that you can choose from. ETF, mutual funds, stocks, bonds. It's just a tax shelter plan, meaning that your tax payments are more than likely deferred till when you reach that magical age of, Matt, 65 or 59 and a half, when you can start withdrawing from them tax-free.
Fake news.
Don't be overwhelmed, I would say. Definitely get involved. And, you know, find, sometimes when you call HR, they may have somebody there that can take you through it. But the worst thing is not to do it.
Okay. Lara, I would also recommend you take some time and go enroll in Google University. They have great resources and articles and information there. And you can check some
and
of
other
our
great resources. Yeah. Two Black Guys with Good Credit. We got past shows that talk about that. Retirement, fact, fake, or fiction. You can go right there and listen, get all the information you need. We are as my back in my days, what are those Britannica encyclopedia of financial literacy, bro?
Yes, we are. So, Laura, I hope this helps you, and congrats on getting that job. We're happy to hear that. That brings us to the close of this mailbag.
Big Matt,
session.
Before we close out, you know, I, as what we're doing in this show, I want to ask you, what's on your mind, bro? Like, what's on your mind? If you had to kind of write into Two Black Guys with Good Credit, or just generally, what's in your head?
Well, all right, Big Sean, I'll write a letter to the editor. I would say one thing that's been on my mind is about the future of entertainment in light of COVID and, you know, this coronavirus and the new social norms, social distancing, and just basically how we have to be health, the concern with health, like sports, the NBA playing in the bubble with the virtual fans.
Why am I
fans.
Not surprised? For those that don't know, Matt is a sports junkie. Okay, let me just call it out. And I knew you'd have to come with this question sooner or later. You know, about this whole bubble and where entertainment is going to be. And that's a very good question. Like, I live close to the Barclays Center and I drive by there a lot. And I'm like, when will this ever be open to the public? Like, what's entertainment going to look like? And what are those industries going to look like? And it's kind of a scary thought, you know.
But also, it's twofold. It's what you just posed. When will this be open to the public? And then the other side of that is, when will the public want to be open to going back? Even if they open it up, do I want to go in there? Like, do I want to be in a closed environment, you know, with people cheering and just kind of all of the, our brains and our thought patterns are going to be, they're changed forever now. So it's like going to certain events and certain types of things. Yeah, I don't know how that works moving forward. And the amount of the fiscal impact of that, when you think about the NBA, like if I'm one of the people who invested in the Barclays Center thinking, and I'm projecting out how much money I'm going to make in 5 years, 10 years, 15,
absolutely.
20, 30.
And you're making no money.
Like, and it's now, crazy, yeah. It, I can only imagine. I mean, it's obviously Corona is hurting everyone from top to bottom, from rich to poor, and everyone in the middle. So it's not, I'm not crying a river for them. I'm just thinking if I was in that position and I had invested in all of that with
That's the thing, like you were saying, it's consumer confidence in investing. Like, people don't know these shows and these things come, money comes from a lot of different investors. And do you have the confidence? Like, I biked past the Madison Square Garden. I saw they had a billboard, Justin Bieber, July 2021. And if I sat down on that table and they're like, Sean, we want you to invest a couple million dollars to this Justin Bieber tour that we plan on having and rolling out in 2021, who's putting their money out there to say, yes, I believe it's going to happen? I mean, because you put your money out there and then it doesn't happen, you got to cancel. That's a huge loss. So I think you know, when people are looking at this, that whole industry, you got to, it starts with consumer confidence. And if there's the confidence is not there that things are going to get better and this death rate is not going to, is going to start declining. And then people are not going to want to invest in entertainment in the way that we traditionally know.
Well, you maybe know? We can
and
come
I'm
back.
I'm tired of Zoom concerts. I'm tired of Zoom concerts, bro. Like that was a nice little thing at the beginning, but now it's just like, okay, like when is this going to end?
Maybe we'll need to come back and do a remix, a real, like a full show on this topic, because it has definitely changed the entire system, the entire, the whole world of entertainment, just like the whole world period has changed. But in the scope of entertainment, like that, like I don't even know how that comes back. So that was what the thing that's been on my mind, Sean, is just how this is changing the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think what, like in the short term, we have to really adapt to the fact that, you know, concerts and sports, the way we know it, is not going to exist. And, you know, even myself, I have to get used to watch. And I've actually, you know, surprisingly, I have not, I've enjoyed watching the NBA, even though there's no fans. And I did not think that I would enjoy it because
they've done
you know
a good
what?
Job of the,
yeah,
presence, the presentation.
Excellent. Yeah. And them as a business, I think the players have bought into it. And that's what any organization, you have to get your staff and your employees to buy into it. So the NBA players, congratulations to them, have bought into the concept and the games are intense. You
but
know,
long
the games
term,
are intense.
Though. But long term, the NBA, like they're making the best out of a bad situation right now. But if they have to have empty stadiums moving forward, like if that doesn't return, like if they're not selling out arenas and concessions and parking and merchandise, like if that is no longer a part of their
Well, I think let me just get the secret model out. It's I think the NBA players have to know they may be taking a price cut. Maybe they're going to be earning what the average person earns to play the game that they love. Maybe they'll only be getting six figures instead of seven figures. Are they willing to do that? If they don't have that revenue coming in, they're just not going to make as much money.
Not just the players. Let's not just put it on them. It's the owners. It's the entire team.
You're absolutely right. I apologize. The owners are going to have to – everybody's going to have to take some pay cuts. And now they'll see are they really wanting to do this? Because that's the reality. There's only so much money in the pool, and we got to split it up which way is the best way we know how. So that could be the end of it.
I think we will table this for now, but I appreciate you asking the question. You're letting me write my letter to the editor, but I like I said, I think we'll probably have to do a deeper dive at a later date on this. But that brings us to the close of this week's mailbag. So I appreciate all of the listeners sending in their questions. So Sean, tell them how they can, for anyone who wants to send in a mailbag question, how can they do that?
Well, you can hit us up. And like I say it all the time, please, people, reach out to me on different social media channels. And the best way to get your answers replied to is to email us at tbgwgc@gmail.com. Like Cynthia from Cincinnati. That's like a tongue twister, Matt. You guys make financial literacy just simply so easy for me to understand. Thank you so much for what you do. Wow. Thank you, Cynthia. That's very kind of you. And that's what we try to do here at tbgwgc@gmail.com. Matt, we try to simplify it. Guess what, Matt?
What?
I'm the better half of two black guys with good credit. My name is Sean Linda. Keep your money where it belongs in your damn pocket, people, and I'm out.
And I'm Matt Smith, the other half of two black guys with good credit. And like I always say, nothing changes if nothing changes. So, folks, make that change, and I'm out.
Two black guys with good credit.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.